podcast is PG, may contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together. This is PG with Roxanne Wilder and Mark Jason.
Oh, Mark, we have a fun show planned today, a fun podcast. So we're going to get into what to do when your kids are headed back to school when it comes to open houses.
You know the open house.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
When all the parents get together on some night and you meet the teachers and you walk around the building.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. I have had to encounter yet, but I want to hear your story. And also, are your kids still sleeping in bed with you? Mm. What are sleeping arrangements in your household? So fun things. I know a lot of parents have strong opinions about.
It's like you have a camera in my house and you know everything I'm going through, Roxanne.
But before we get into our topics, something just happened to me while I'm sitting here. One of my girlfriends, one of my best friends, just texted me and she had her procedure this morning to take her eggs out of her ovaries. And to
I was like, what's I'm the so word? Scientific. I don't know what the word is.
And she, so she's doing IVF.
Mm-hmm.
And she just texted me she got 28 eggs. Well, I'm so happy for her.
I don't know a lot about this. So
yes.
These are 28 eggs that could be fertilized.
Could get fertilized.
Okay.
Could get
is
fertilized.
That the word?
Yes.
All right.
And so I have to tell you a little background information. My daughter is an IVF baby. I actually thought to myself a while back, I was like, you know, maybe I'm not going to tell her. Should I not tell her she's an IVF baby? Because she's my baby. So that's all that matters. And then does it make kids feel weird? And then you don't want to give children other things to confuse them. You're learning about birds and bees and you're like, wait a second. So this is how it really happens. But then you were made in a lab. So I don't want to confuse her. But then I met a woman recently and she's in her 20s and she told me she's an IVF baby. And she said, oh my gosh, you should absolutely tell your daughter. I thought it was cool when I found out. And so I just thought it was great. I knew my parents wanted me so desperately that they were willing to go through all of these things. So that made me feel a lot better. So now that's why I'm able to talk about this on a podcast is because I am going to tell her.
Yeah. Oh, you are going to tell her.
Because on my friend's, you know, encouragement that
when
she was happy
would
to find
you do
out.
That?
I don't know.
See, that's a weird.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes. So
too young, they don't understand.
They don't understand.
Too old, they say, why did you wait?
I know.
There's a sweet spot.
There is.
I don't know what it is.
And the sweet spot, I wouldn't imagine, is like when they're teenagers, when their hormones are raging and they're looking for reasons to get irritated at you, right? I don't know when that right time is. A little tricky.
Yeah, it is. But I will say, though, because it's still you, and it's still the dad.
Right.
Right?
So it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Right.
Right. Where it gets tricky is the surrogate thing.
Oh, I bet.
That's got to be, I think about that. It's like, so your mom, your dad, but that was the briefcase that carried, you know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. That's got to be the ultimate challenge.
I know. There are all kinds of, but you know, whatever it is, whatever situation it is, it sounds like the families really wanted to bring the child into the world. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, no,
and
it's great.
It's very unselfish. Can you imagine? I mean, if my sister was like, I need you to carry my child, I would do it.
Right.
My best friend. But that would be a big sacrifice. I mean, right? A huge sacrifice to carry someone's
child. Just think
child.
That's something that you, yeah. There,
so.
So many possible just, I don't want to say drama, but there's just, there's got to be the anxiety of that. It's got to be on a totally different.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure. So,
but back to your friend. So the 28 eggs, is that a lot? Just, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you my personal story.
Could it be, yeah.
To put it in reference. So it's different with each person. So what happened with us, so we did it three times and the third time was the charm. So the first time we got, I believe it was like 18 eggs maybe, and then 12 were fertilized. And so we were feeling really good and that happens instantly. So the next day you after they retrieve your eggs, they call you the next day and they tell you the good news or the bad news. And so we were thrilled. And at that point, to get to that point where you're doing IVF, you have obviously been trying for a long time, and it can be pretty gut-wrenching.
Sure.
And so you're just looking for solutions, and this has been 3 years in the process. And we're like, okay, we finally did it. We crossed that line. I remember I went to a football game with my parents. USF Bulls are playing. The next day I went, and I'm just feeling so good.
You remember. It's unbelievable.
Yes,
yeah.
I remember all this stuff. And so then they say the way that it works, 4 days later, they're going to call you every other day to give you an update on your eggs, how they're doing.
So every time the phone rings, you're a nervous wreck, right?
Can't imagine.
Right.
So preparing you for parenthood. So 18 eggs, 12 fertilized. He told us that on Saturday. Every day they're calling us and they were well graded eggs too. Or embryos. I'm sorry. So by day, what was it? By Monday-ish, they said, okay, we're going to call you on Thursday with the final results. How many have survived? And we'll go from there. So on Thursday, I remember I was driving home. And so I'm like, Doug, let's call her. And he goes, well, just wait until you get home so we can be together. So I got home. Oh, I was there crying.
I can see it.
I just remember, like, as soon as I walked in, Doug's like, I'm sorry, none of them made it. And it was it was awful.
And this is the first one. Mm-hmm.
This is the first one.
So you had to go through this again.
Two more times. Yes. So I'm sorry for crying. So anyways, I just remember that was very traumatic. And he was like, we're going to get through this. So a year. So it took us another, we just held off for a little bit. The following June, I started again. It was like May. So sorry to start off the shows. So like on a downbeat, I didn't know it was going this direction.
I think it's great. but this is real. And like you said, people don't, like, I don't know a lot about this. So there's people who don't, but then on the other side, there's people who do. And this is obviously an emotional, I mean you'll never forget this moment.
No, never, never. So then in May, we started again. And then my father passed suddenly. And so part of this whole protocol, it's very, very intensive. So moms have to go, and you go every other day to the doctor. And so they're doing your, they're checking your eggs and they're checking your blood work every day. And you're doing all your shots at night. And so I was doing the shots. And when I came in after my father passed and they were checking me, they said, Roxanne, I'm sorry, but your levels aren't changing at all. Your body's not doing what it's supposed to be doing at all. So it's going to be a waste for you to try to retrieve these eggs again and not have good results. So they actually obviously saved me some money. So we took some time off.
There's a huge cost for this for people that don't know.
There is.
Right.
Absolutely. So we took some time off and then we did it the third time and it worked. And here's our beautiful baby. And it's unbelievable. And I do remember when we met with our doctor, who's amazing, and he would tell me through the whole thing, he's like, Roxanne, every time a woman gets pregnant, I'm shocked. Naturally, I'm surprised. Mm-hmm. In vitro, I'm surprised because so many things have to happen for that conception to take place. I mean, I know we know the stories of 16-year-olds getting pregnant, mm-hmm. and all of that, but so many things have to happen. It truly is a miracle. And he also said, I'm going, he was encouraging. He's like, it's going to happen. But at the same time, he's like, I'm the doctor, but it's really out of my hands.
There's this crazy stat out there here from time to time that the chances of becoming a human, mm-hmm. think about that, which I know sounds weird. It's like 500 billion to one.
Oh, I know.
Like the fact that you weren't born a crocodile or
right.
something. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
my gosh.
It's so incredible when you think about it. Like even to actually exist for all these things that have to happen is like insane. The fact that we're here is like, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
I mean, you've already won a million different lotteries just by being here.
Oh, I think about that too.
Yeah.
I mean, even just to be, okay, so you're saying human species. That's amazing. Amazing odds or not great odds. And here we are. And then to be born in our country.
Oh, you can just keep going and going and going and going.
And to your parents. And
So we had the moment when they called and we said, I'm sorry, Roxanne, this is going to work. But what about the moment? Like, is there that finish line moment when they're like, Roxanne, we have to tell you, is there a yes, it worked or yes, it
I think that's what we realized through the whole thing. I'm like, Doug, this is just life. There's going to be all these moments where we're holding our breath because
Where were you? Like, do you remember the football game that was on when they told you that had all worked or the day or whatever?
That downbeat that we had, from that point on, we were never really convinced it was going to happen.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense, but that made me believe, like, Roxanne, you can never take it for granted. Even if you have a victory,
right?
You don't know if it's going to happen.
You knew you were against the odds,
yes.
And you had to, yeah.
Yes. So the third time when we got our call, I mean, I honestly, the crazy thing is I don't remember where I was. I know I was extraordinarily happy, but so we knew that we had an embryo. So that's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's the next part. Just because you have the embryos, then because of my age, we got enough embryos to test to make sure that they were viable. So we actually had this one tested, or all of them tested, and you find out what's going to work. You implant the best one that graded the best and is all chromosomally correct. And then so things look pretty good at that point. We don't take it for granted. And then so we did the insertion. We didn't do it until like 6 months after because it had been such a roller coaster. We're like, let's just take a breath and get through this next 6 months and kind of not have the stress of this of what we've been through. So I wanted to be in a good place when I did do the implantation. We did it. And long story short, after I got pregnant, this is a great story, Mark. I can't believe I've never told you this. I'm sorry. I'm talking all about myself. Okay. So
that's cool. No, because this is emotional. So you're all over the place. This is great.
So the day that I was supposed to go get my blood work with my reproductive specialist, I'm in the car, I'm driving to work, and I'd been already crying because I was telling Doug, I feel crampy. I don't feel like I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. Sorry. And I'm driving to work. It's 4:30 in the morning. A deer runs out in front of my car, and my car is smashed, like $8,000 worth of damage.
Goodness.
For some reason, the airbag didn't go off because I was driving and I didn't put on the brakes because I never saw the deer. It just fell out of the sky. And so I go to work that day. I still went to work. Then I went to the doctor. I'm crying the whole time at the doctor's office. I had a green shake in my hand that morning when the deer hit me deer jumped to the front of the car, and that spilled all over my white dress.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm sitting there. I look like I was slimed on Nickelodeon. I'm sitting there crying. And so they're just talking to me. They said, okay, fine, Roxanne, we'll call you tomorrow and let you know your test results. I said, I know I'm not pregnant. I got in a car accident and I just don't feel like I am. They call me back 2 hours later and they said, do you want your news? And I was like, I do remember where I was. I was eating lunch I stepped outside to take the call. They're like, you're pregnant. It was unbelievable. But then you have all the tests afterwards to make sure are going.
Did you run to like a CVS and get one of those like $10 tests?
Because I've taken so many that weren't the result I wanted to see. I just wanted the doctors to deal with it. And then I did think I had a miscarriage. So, you know, because sometimes you have that bleeding. It was like 2 weeks later. Yeah. I thought for sure I did. And I didn't. I went in and they're like, nope, there's your heartbeat. She's still there. So it really prepared us for the ups and downs of childhood.
Yeah.
So it's a different story than a lot of people.
Great ending to all of this, but I had no idea, mm-hmm. The whole whirlwind and the IVF thing, stressful enough.
Mm-hmm.
Then you add in car accidents and everything else. My goodness.
She made it.
Like I said, great ending, but that is quite the story. Uh-huh. I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't either. I wasn't going to tell you.
No, it's good.
Reacting to my girlfriend's text. So back to that. I'm so happy for
those of you guys listening. I mean, it's not like I know the answers to this podcast about what she's going to say. She oftentimes doesn't know the end of what I'm going to bring up. So, but that's great. We all kind of are in this together, no matter when you're listening, you're getting all the thing. Wow.
Right.
I'm glad you went first because
let's get to some fun stuff.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't know that I can beat that, but I'm glad that we got all the good stuff out of the way. Cause now I'm like, let's talk about a back to school open house. And I'm like, I'm not going to cry about the back. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to cry about the back to school open house. I'm not, but I sort of wanted to, I sort of wanted to, while I was there. So back to school open houses and you'll get there. As your daughter gets older and older. And so I've got three in elementary school, one in middle school. So I went to my son's back to school open house. And this is a common thing where you have to go. It's like a few days before school starts. You meet the teachers. You go through the bell routine. So you actually sit in the scheduled rooms for like 10 minutes. And then the bell will ring. And then you have the schedule. So you and your son will walk to the next one. So it's, you know, those halls are made for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, right? Not for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, plus their parents or grandparents and everything.
You never think about that.
Unbelievable. So it was
like a mosh pit.
It was crazy. It was like a mosh pit. It was the millennial mosh pit. Actually, no, they're not millennials. It was like, what, Gen Xers or Gen Zers or whatever?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, whatever it is. And so we get there, and first off, I'm terrible at this. I could never do this school thing right now. Uh-huh. Reading the schedule is hard. Don't ask me why, but the rooms, it's like A23Z6. And I'm like, what? What about like room 7? Or you know how it used to be.
Right.
We're walking around the schools. I'm sweating, right? Because it's so hot because there's so many people. And here's the other thing. It's Thursday night. It's week one of NFL preseason, right? All the games are about to kick off. And I'm freaking out. I'm having what I like to call NFL anxiety. Even though it's preseason, I'm a huge football fan, right? Like my wife even knows. She's like, hey, if NFL's on, it's like, don't even bother this guy. Like, I'm worthless.
You're twitchy. You know where you should be. You need to be somewhere else.
I'm sweaty. I'm twitchy. I'm craving a cold beer. Uh-huh. Like I said, my wife knows I'm worthless during NFL games. So we're walking around. And I got to tell you, there's got to be a better way. And all the parents are such an absolute thumbs up because I could never do middle school right now, ever. The amount that they have to walk between, and everything's like the portables and then the real building and like these schedules and these classes, plus NFL was on.
Right. Oh, forget it. It just reminded me when you said that, all that walking around logistically, I know there have been issues with kids trying to get to lunch on time and they only have 30 minutes now in some schools.
And yeah, and the other thing is so like backpacks aren't allowed anymore between classes. Like you're not allowed to carry a backpack, safety reasons. I'm down with that. Like I'm really cool with that. But it makes it tough for the kids when like this teacher wants a trapper keeper, this teacher wants a binder. They're carrying all this. You should see these kids. They're carrying.
Right.
They're like, they look like they're moving, like from their home. Like they're walking around because they can't hold their backpacks. It's like, I just feel so bad, but.
They've been displaced.
I am in terrible open house shape, just sweaty and slow. I'm on the bench. It's bad, but a lot of the parents.
What are the other guys, the other dads? Do you look at each other in the hall when you pass each other? Like, what are we doing here?
Well, by about period three, because you go through all the periods together and you start to notice that your kids have the same classes with other kids. Mm-hmm. So. You start forming this bond, right? And so I walked in and I had my phone down because I was checking scores at this point on Twitter as it was going on. And the guy looks at me and he goes, are you checking a game? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what's the score? So we start going back and forth, you know, because he's like, and he looks at me and he goes, dude, we've been here for an hour and a half. I'm like, yeah, but we're only halfway through. 2.5 hours we walked around the school. And I, like I said, I'm just not in good open house shape. So for all you parents out there, if you haven't done the open house thing yet, stretch out. Up the cardio a week or two ahead of time. And
no carb depletion. Maybe you need the carbs for energy.
More carbs, and you need some patience. But the schools, we got to stay away from preseason opening night with NFL. Got to do it. So frustrating.
So a teacher reached out to you after the fact?
No. So Trey, my kindergartner, obviously he just started kindergarten, and my wife texts me and she says, we already have an email from Trey's teacher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what? It's like day two.
Right.
And Trey's a sweet kid, but he's a lot of energy, and you know he's one of those kids that kind of like he kind of takes life by the horns, mm-hmm. right? He does his thing.
Okay, Trey's number three.
He's number four.
Number four. Okay.
Yeah, he's number four. I had to count.
Okay.
Tyler, Charlie, Austin, Trey.
As long as you can keep track, I'm just trying.
It takes a second, but yeah, I'm on delay, but I do figure it out eventually. So he's in kindergarten. He just started kindergarten, and the teacher sends the email, and so my wife texts it to me. Pull it up right here. And it turns out it's a pretty funny email, but I was a little nervous. It was like day two, and he's already getting emails. Here's what the teacher says. She says, Trey is just adorable. He is already making a little girlfriend and having to separate them. Yikes. I love having Trey in class. So day two, Trey and this girl, I guess, have kind of, they're doing their own thing in the corner. They're laughing. They're joking. They're playing their own games. They're doing their own thing. And he's already been separated on day number two. But it was a pretty good email. The teacher's great. I thought it was funny that she sent it because usually you get bad news from the teachers.
Right.
And I thought it was cool that she sent like
That's
this.
So cute.
They're having a blast. They're really cute. I'm even trying to keep them away from each other.
Sounds like Trey is going to be one of those guys who he's really going to be good. You go to a bar and you're able to get the woman that you have your eye on and kind of get her away from the group.
Right. Yeah, no.
He's got that natural skill set.
He's got that skill set, yeah, where he's kind of magnetic. And I think Trey will be, Trey's going to be peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. That's Trey, mm-hmm. right? It's mm-hmm. like there's going to be some great stuff and there's going to be some super challenging stuff. He's a peaks and valleys kid. Like Tyler's much more,
even keel.
The older, yeah. Tyler's much more consistent with everything.
And predictable.
Yeah, yeah. He's just a great kid, always looks out for others. Trey's kind of like, watch this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, I can up my game or I can totally change the rules of the game.
Good day or a bad day
right.
with him.
Yeah.
No in between.
But it's pretty funny, but you got to get ready for the back to school open houses. They are tough. The parking's tough. The temperature's tough. Everything.
Oh.
And you got to do
about
it.
That.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you got to do it. But then I think there's got to be a better way. And even right. the teachers, because at the end of it, they're kind of like, they're doing the same spiel mm-hmm. every
Right.
Every break, like every class that comes in, every parent's like, it's the same spiel.
Ooh, so, right. There's got to be a better way.
That's a warning
at least
for you.
I'm
giving you a couple year warning on
right.
that one. Yeah.
I've got a couple years to think about it, but at least it sounds like you guys have good turnouts at your school, like parents that want to be involved.
Yeah. Great community. I think, I think that's good. Aside from the football thing, I could have made it through it a lot easier, mm-hmm, but I had that
and
NFL itch going. I was shaking a little bit and, you know. I was being a guy.
Oh, that's okay. You're allowed. Yeah. Hey, girls get really, you know, heated up too when it's football season and they need to get the scores and need to know, you know,
sure.
if you're in a pool.
My wife's constantly driving me crazy about the scores of the NFL game. Never.
Just your fantasy players.
Right. Oh, yeah. All her fantasy. Yeah.
Speaking of fantasy, now's a good segue to our next topic, which I don't know, Mark. We might have to make this a double topic. We might only be able to get into half of this.
Okay. So
today.
We'll do a little bit here. Mm-hmm. All right. A little next week.
And a little next week. Sleeping arrangements with the child. So we've had some issues at our house, not issues, but it is what it is. It,
mm-hmm.
The situation is what it is. We want to make it better. People have very strong opinions about sleeping arrangements. Do they sleep in the crib? Do they sleep in their own bed? Do they sleep with mom and dad? So what's going on with you?
Well, for some reason, the last month, my at night, it's like a zoo at night.
Cam is a little one.
Cal.
I'm sorry.
Cal, yeah.
I was thinking Cam Newton. I was thinking football. Okay, there we go. Cal.
Yeah, no, Cal. So if it's funny because for some reason, it like at 2 o'clock in the morning, I've got zombies in the house. The kids wake up and everybody's moving. It's like musical chairs, but it's like musical beds. Uh-huh. Everybody's switching beds at 2 o'clock in the morning. But here's what I'll say for parents who are like trying to get this like under control. I'm a big like, look, if you do it again, you're losing privileges. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like you're in trouble. My wife is a little more lax and she's like, yeah, but if you're having a nightmare and you're scared, then you can do it. Well, then you just give them the excuse. Like, we can't prove that they're having a nightmare. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. they just wake up. So I tell Trey now, are you having a nightmare every night? Because he's getting up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning and getting into the bed. Uh-huh. And now Charlie, his older sister, she now gets up and goes, I thought I heard thunder. So she's moving. No, you didn't hear thunder. I go outside. It's clear. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. The whole house is moving around. It's musical beds.
I can only imagine with that many.
Right. But the parents, there's got to be a unified front. Like my wife is more lax on if they're scared or something, then it's fine. But they've taken that and run with it. So me, I'm like a paper tiger now because I'm like, all right, if you do it tonight, seriously, mm-hmm. no beach this weekend or you're going to lose 2 hours in the pool or whatever.
Right.
Then they get out of jail free card is I was scared. Mm. Some of it's sort of my fault. I let them watch Jaws the other day and that's apparently...
That's the new scary movie.
Jaws.
That's the fault. Right.
Yeah. Jaws. So that's they're blaming it on that. And maybe they were a little young for Jaws. That's fine. I'll take the dinger on that one. But you got to be unified.
Right.
So I wake up now and I've got like a circus in the bed. Everybody's moving around and, you know, it's insanity.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So you have to start asking them, describe your dream for me. And see how quickly they can come up with answers. Or if they're like, look, which way do you look? If you're lying, you're looking, if you're making stuff up, you look one direction. If you're telling the truth.
And you know, I feel like that's another podcast in itself where kids describe their nightmares. Like that's a pretty good one.
You need to go home and ask all of them to do that.
That's mm-hmm. pretty good.
Even to have that recall is good for them too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Describe your nightmares.
Okay. Well, we've had a very emotional podcast today so mm-hmm. far, so I don't even think I should get into our sleeping arrangements
because
I might start crying again.
Oh, my gosh. What is going
on? No, I'm just kidding. Well, it's not that bad.
That'll be the teaser for next week. We'll kick it off describing what's mm-hmm. going on at your house and the sleeping arrangements.
Right.
And I'm assuming there's some drama going on at night.
I wouldn't call it drama as much as dysfunction.
Okay. All right. Some people would say they take the drama over dysfunction, but yeah, that's cool.
I know.
Cool.
I think I would too. So if anyone has any advice for Mark, for kids coming into the bed in the middle of the night and blaming on the nightmares, we need that. And then just ideas about what to do to have good sleep hygiene with your little ones. Everybody take a bath before everybody jumps in the bed together. That's all I know.
That's
at this
a good
point.
One too. That's a good one too.
That always helps. And so we love all the feedback from listeners
too.
Yeah,
love it. Maybe there's something out there that we don't know about.
Exactly.
So send it our way. We'd love
mm-hmm.
that.